We've been talking about changing your life, and in particular, the role of curses in hindering that change. What does the Bible say about curses?
Coming to you from the radio studios of Souls Harbor Covenant Church in Miami, Florida, USA, this is Walking in Power, a dynamic life application Bible study with Bern Zumpano, anointed author and teacher of authentic Christian doctrine. Bern Zumpano's spirit-filled teachings on practical Christianity have touched and transformed the lives of many people who have opened their hearts to God's Holy Spirit as a result of Bern's instructional teaching. Bern shows us how Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and how He can change your life and circumstances. We invite you now to listen in with family and friends as Bern discusses Christian issues and answers that will teach you to walk in the power and the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Bern.
Thank you, Glenn. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, on behalf of all of the people of Souls Harbor Church and all Christians worldwide, I come together in agreement, firstly speaking our voice of thanks, praise, glory, honor, exaltation, and majesty to your holy name, to all of the men of the earth and to the ends of the world. Anoint the people worldwide with eyes to see and ears to hear. We agree that all demonic scales are broken off of their spiritual eyes and ears, and that they will see and hear with the eyes and ears of your Holy Spirit. By the Spirit of power and might of your Holy Spirit, we call a clear, wide, open, unobstructed path cut to the heart, mind, soul, and spirit of every person listening, and to every man upon this earth, and agree that you will shine your light and truth upon them and into them. We agree for and call in, by faith, the greatest spiritual end-time harvest that the world has ever seen. Also in agreement, we bind Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the princes of the north, south, east, and west, all principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, wicked spirits in high places, all territorial spirits everywhere, all ruler spirits over all communities and peoples worldwide, all spirits above, around, and below them, all spirits of antichrist, lies, deception, religion, witchcraft, python, unbelief, doubt, divination, all spirits of harm or immorality of any kind, all spirits of opposition, hindrance, interference, and obstruction, destruction, murder, theft, the Jezebel spirit, the Ahab spirit, the Absalom spirit, all spirits of slander, scandal, rumor, libel, defamation, maligning, derision, opinionated spirits, rumor and gossip, accusations, and false accusations, along with all of their physical and psychic attacks, assignments, and operations. We loose all the peoples everywhere from such activities, assignments, and attacks and operations, and call their strongholds down and destroyed, canceled, made null and void, cursed and destroyed at their roots, never more manifested or come to pass, rendered of no effect, judged, spoiled, and never seated, and decree any and all retaliation, revenge, or getting even permanently, immediately, completely, and continually forbidden, all in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. And in the authority of His name, Father, this is our faith confession, and we believe that we receive, and the saints said in agreement, Amen. Well, greetings to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, friends of our radio listening audience. Welcome to our worldwide Bible study, where we have been talking over the past several weeks about changing your life. We've been talking about the role of curses, the different types of curses, how to break those curses. And over the past several weeks, I have thrown at you a great deal of information. And today we're going to spend the time summing up everything that we have taught and said over the past several weeks about curses, so that if anything was unclear, or if you missed out on anything and you want to take some notes down, you can do so by going right now or sending someone to get some paper and a pencil or a pen so that you can write down the scripture references, so that you can write down the highlights of the principles, and so that you can write down our website address, where you can go to the website, to our homepage at www.walkinginpower.org. That's our internet address.
And on our homepage, you can click on radio broadcasts and you can listen to this program again for free, or you can listen to the previous programs there if you missed out on this study and you want to go back and learn the principles of walking in the power of the Holy Spirit free from the curse. Not only can you listen online to our previous radio broadcasts, but you can also download them for free. And you can download audio teaching tapes for free, and you can download books to read online or books to read for free by clicking on the books and downloading it to the ebook, that is the electronic book section on your computer, where you can save them in an electronic library. And it's all free of charge. Why do we do it? Because Matthew 10:8 says, freely you have received, freely give. So we are giving the word to the world. We invite you to help yourself to the materials which are for free on the internet, including this teaching in the radio broadcast section. Now, if you have your pad and pencils or pens ready, let's do a bit of review about what we have talked about in the line of curses, biblical curses, and breaking curses. It's an important thing because you want to be free from the curse. Jesus wants you free from the curse, and he wants your descendants free from the curse. Why? Because you are grafted into the Abrahamic covenant, and having been grafted into the Abrahamic covenant with the Jews, you are entitled to the blessings of Abraham, and God wants you under the blessings and not under the curse. Our proof text regarding the curse is Proverbs 26:2. The word says, as a bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. Now, some of your Bible translations say, a curse without cause shall not alight. Notice what the scripture says, that there is always a cause for a curse. Now, we described several types of curses. We talked about the self-inflicted curse, which some people call an inner vow, in which we speak negative words over ourselves, and those words take root and actualize in our life. Now, the basis of the self-inflicted curse is in the power of words. So let's review this curse first in summing up our teaching on curses which block the ability to change our life circumstances. Whenever you're doing something, and no matter what you're doing in the faith walk, nothing seems to be getting better. You're praying and you're fasting, and nothing changes, and it goes on year after year after year. The first thing you should think of is an unbroken curse. People say to me, well, Byrne, now hold on. Jesus became a curse for me, so I can't be under the curse. Right? And the answer to that is right, but in a sense also wrong, because it is conditionally true as long as you take possession of it. You see, it also says in the scripture that Jesus died once and for all men. So my question to you is, are all men saved just because the word says it? No. Why? Because they didn't take possession of it. Everything in the kingdom you want, one of the laws of the kingdom is you must take possession by faith. How did you get saved if you're saved? You said, I want that. And by faith, you took it to yourself, and God worked it out in your life. The same thing is true for freedom from the curse. Now, the curse without cause shall not alight. And the curse which is self-inflicted comes from the power of words. Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who engage it shall eat the fruits of it. Fruits come from seed. So the power of the tongue is to produce seed, which produces fruit. That fruit is life or death. Physical life or death, spiritual life or death, social life or death, economic life or death on your health, on your income, on relationships, whatever. Why? Because life and death are in the power of the tongue. Those who engage it will eat the fruits of it. The fruits of the tongue come from seed. The seed of the tongue is words. So your words, backed by faith, have spiritual power to affect your life. Your life, in essence, is formed by your words. Christians don't talk their problems, they talk the solutions. If you keep talking the problems, you're going to keep having the problems because you're seeding the problems with your mouth, with your tongue. And the fruit of that comes from the seed which you have seeded. So the self-inflicted curse is based upon us speaking negative words, or death words, if you want to call them that, over our circumstances or upon ourselves. And we gave examples in the previous broadcast, and we said, for instance, that those curses come from casual remarks, such as, I'll never amount to anything. I don't have a future. I'll never have a good marriage. I'll never marry. I'll never trust another man again. I'll never trust another woman again. You folks keep talking that way, and you are seeding curses into your lives. Now, how do you break the self-inflicted curse? Firstly, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you those that need to be broken. Then, you repent of it, you renounce the words, you retract them in the name of Christ Jesus, and you break them off of you, and you say, Lord Jesus Christ, I break those words off of me in the name and by the blood of Christ Jesus, Father. You just renounce, retract, and break. And then you lay hands on yourself and you speak the opposite of what the curse was as a blessing over yourself. The blessing must replace the curse. So when it comes to self-inflicted curses, in summary, then you identify them, you renounce those words, you retract them, you repent of them, and you break them off of you in Christ Jesus' name and by the blood of Christ Jesus. And you declare them broken off in Jesus' name. And the last thing you do is lay hands on yourself. You speak the blessing, which is the opposite of the curse. Okay, let me give you a quick example. So say your problem is that you have spoken also upon yourself, that of unbridled sexual misbehavior that you just could not seem to control. You would lay hands on yourself and you would just say, Lord Jesus Christ, I take the blessing and I impart by the finished work of the cross sexual continence, sexual temperance, sexual self-control in Christ Jesus' name. See, in other words, you speak over yourself just the opposite of what the curse was. Then we said that there were curses spoken over, formed against, or directed at us by others who have seeded negative words over us or our circumstances. Oh, your father was an alcoholic, you'll be an alcoholic just like him. Oh, he was no good, you probably will end up no good also. Oh, you'll never amount to anything. Oh, your grandfather died of cancer and your father died of cancer, you'll probably die of cancer too. You see, people, every day, without our realizing it, drop casual comments, which are in actuality negative words or death words, which come from the fruit of their tongue. Now, the problem with the curse spoken over, formed against us, or directed at us by others, is that sometimes we passively receive them. And by receiving them, we are putting a faith or a trust on what they say, particularly if we don't object. And so, in a circumstance like that, the first thing, if they are in your presence, that you need to say, gently or under your breath, is, I don't receive that in Christ Jesus' name. See, do not permit the seeds of those negative words to take root in your heart. You'll put a belief in them over time. you'll start thinking, oh, that's probably right. What kind of a chance do I have? This or that. So that can even lead to a self-inflicted curse. And so in a situation like that, what we discover is that when someone speaks a curse over us or our loved ones, born or unborn, okay, under our breath, we say, I don't receive that in Christ Jesus' name. And then you must take authority over those words. New Testament scripture says, take every thought captive to Christ and cast down every vain imagination. That includes the vain thoughts of others. Why in the world would you let that enter into your mind and heart where it might take root? No, in circumstances like that, under our breath or when the person is not around or has departed, we just pray, Father, in Christ Jesus' name, I take authority over those negative words and that curse spoken over me or so and so. In the name and by the blood of Christ Jesus, I bind those words. I uproot those words. I curse those words at the roots. I forgive so and so. And I declare on the basis of Job 22:28, in that day you shall declare a thing and it shall come to pass. I declare that those words shall never come to pass. I bind that curse and I break it off of me and so, in the name and by the blood of Christ Jesus. Get the idea? In other words, the principle of dealing with a curse spoken by others is to not receive it, reject it, refuse the words, bind them, break them, uproot them, cast them down, curse them at the roots, declare they shall never actualize in the name and by the blood of Christ Jesus. Back that by faith, Jesus does the rest. So when it comes to a curse spoken by others over you or your loved ones, you take authority over it, you break it, you forgive the person as well, and then again, lay hands on yourself or them, even if they're not present, lay hands on them in the spirit and impart the blessing, which is the opposite of the curse. And that's how you handle a curse spoken by others. Well, let's summarize now what we learned about the generations curse. The scriptural basis for the generations curse is Exodus 20, verse 5 and 6. You shall not bow down yourself to them. Here God was referring to idols. But he continues, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Now watch this. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now here when God says, visiting the sin of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, when he says them that hate me, he's referring to those who practice willful habitual sin. And what he's saying there is that curse goes down 3 to 4 generations. That's the basis of the generation's curse. But you are grafted in as Gentile church to the covenant of Abraham with the Jews, and God therefore does not want you under the curse but under the blessing, and God makes the way out for you because the things of the kingdom are for the people of the kingdom. And that way out is in Leviticus 26:40-44. And listen to what it says. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, that they also have walked contrary to me, and that I also have walked contrary to them and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham, will I remember, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy their Sabbaths while she lieth desolate without them. And they shall accept the punishment of their iniquity, because even because they despised my judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statutes, and yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them, that means hate them, to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God, but I will for their sakes remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. Notice what God said then in verse 40. They have to confess their iniquity, their sins, the sins of the fathers or forefathers, and acknowledge that they trespassed against me and walked contrary. Okay, in other words, the essence of breaking the generation's curse is not prayer, but repentance for the sins of the forefathers. It's repentance that breaks the generation's curse. The prayer, the acknowledgement, if you want to call it that, permits the breaking of the curse by the repentance. And God says that we must acknowledge that they trespassed, acknowledge that they walked contrary, and humble themselves. He says, then will I hear and restore. So, there are elements to the prayer of breaking the generation's curse. Before I tell you that in review, let me just mention the types of generation's curses that there are. There are generation's curses of familial sin. There are generation's curses of dishonoring parents. Deuteronomy says, honor your father and mother that it may go well with you in the land. What is the implication? If you do not honor your father and mother, no matter what they are or what they have done, they are still your father and mother. If you do not honor your father and mother, it will not go well with you in the land, the scripture says. In other words, your life will not go well with you. That is a generation's curse. There is a generation's curse of illegitimacy, which doesn't go down 4 generations, but 10 generations in the scripture, and it is broken like any other generation's curse. And we'll talk about that shortly. There is a generation's curse of judging others. And when you judge others, you commit sin, because the scripture says, judge with righteous judgment. And righteous judgment is judgment tempered by mercy and compassion if you are a New Testament believer, not by the letter of the word. Because the scripture says the letter of the word kills, the spirit of the word gives life. So there is a generation's curse of judging others. And God will judge you of their sin for that, New Testament scripture says. There is a generation's curse of becoming what you judge others. An example, children of alcoholic parents, very often they will judge their mother, their father, or both and say, they're nothing but a bunch of no good alcoholics. And that's all they're ever going to be. They're of no use to me. This or that. And then 10 years down the road, the children themselves are alcoholics. And we've all seen that. Okay? That's the curse of becoming what you judge others. Now, in a circumstance like that, that also is capable of being broken. Now, whether it's a habitual sin, a medical problem that runs in the family, like cancers or heart disease or diabetes, whether it's a psychological problem that runs in the family, whether it's a physical problem that runs in the family, or a spiritual problem like resisting the Holy Spirit. If Grandpa and Grandma resisted the Holy Spirit, chances are the offspring and descendants will, because of the generation's curse. Doesn't matter what they are, generational sin, physical, spiritual, or emotional, whether it's judging others, becoming what you judge others, the curse of illegitimacy, or the curse of dishonoring parents, they're all broken the same way. Now let's review. What are the ways that we break the generation's curse? Well, notice that God said, first thing you must do is acknowledge the sins of the ancestors. Well, you have, it goes back 4 generations, you have 2 parents, 2 sets of grandparents, 4 sets of great-grandparents, 8 sets of great-great-grandparents. From your side alone, if you're married, your spouse has the same, and the generation's curse can cross over, according to the story of Athaliah and Jehoram in the Old Testament. Therefore, you have a total of 32 families from which you can possibly derive generations' curses. You don't know all of those generations' curses. Therefore, you can't always tell the Lord or confess the iniquity. So what you do is you say, whatever those sins were that brought this curse into the family's lines. And God will accept that. Okay? But you must have right motive for the breaking of a generation's curse. It isn't to get a monkey off of your back. It's because it grieved the Holy Spirit and acted in hostility to Father God. Remember what he said in Leviticus 26, 40 and 41? They must acknowledge that they acted contrary to me. See, they acted in hostility to Father God. Grieved the Holy Spirit. So you confess, Lord, I come before you. I confess all ancestral sins on all sides of my mother's two families, my father's two families, and those of the families of anyone from my past with whom I had a significant or intimate relationship on all sides of all of those families back to the family's origins. I confess to you any of their sins that brought into the family's lines these generations' curses. And you name them. And then you say, and all like sins of my own. Because, tell God why, they acted in contrary to you, they acted in hostility to you, they grieved your Holy Spirit as did I. And then you say, I repent for them, I repent for myself, I ask for forgiveness. I forgive and release their memories. I forgive and release myself. In restitution to those who were hurt by them and to 1,000 generations and beyond, I ask for the born-again experience, water and Holy Spirit baptism, the covenant promises. I ask you, Father, to call them to the Lord Christ Jesus. Impart those things into their lives. Okay, so now you've done restitution. Now, what's the next step? The third step is, so it's acknowledge, confess, repent, speak restitution. The fifth step is I cut, break, and sever all ties, bonds, cords, soul ties with the curses, the spirits who carry them out, and the sins. And the last step, I break those generations' curses in the name and by the blood of Christ Jesus, all in Christ Jesus' name. You lay hands on yourself, you impart the blessing, which is the opposite of each of the curses broken. See how it's done? And then bind Satan, the strong man on assignment against you, and the familiar spirits who carried out those curses, and cast them out and banish them in the name and by the blood of Christ Jesus. And, oh yes, decree they cannot retaliate in Christ Jesus' name. And that, in summary, is how you break the generation's curse regardless of type. But let me say this. The things of the kingdom of God are for the people of the kingdom of God. Are you in the kingdom of God? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And if you do not, will you not come to Christ today? Today is as good a day as any. The scripture says today is the day of salvation. Why? Tomorrow may be too late. Pray this prayer aloud with me, will you?
Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I repent of my sins, all of them. I turn from them by my own free will. I renounce them. I ask your forgiveness. I invite you into my heart now to be Lord and Savior. That is, to lead me through life and save me. I confess you before men as the resurrected Christ. Come into me now, Lord Jesus Christ. I receive you by trusting faith. And faith alone. Amen.
Now, if you prayed that prayer, get yourself into a Bible-believing, non-denominational, Spirit-filled church. Get yourself water and Holy Spirit baptized by immersion. Get into a community where people can teach you the Word of God. Study the Bible. Apply the Word to your life. Be a disciple. I promise you, my friend, you will never again be the same. Talk to you again next week. God bless you.
This program was brought to you by the volunteers of the International Radio Ministry of Souls Harbor Covenant Church, Miami, Florida, USA. We desire that this broadcast become a spiritual nourishment and blessing to you. There's a lot of Christian entertainment and testimony activity on TV and radio worldwide, but there's a greater need for instruction in the Word and the ways of God. Our desire is to help fill that need. If this program has been a blessing to you and others, you may wish to become a contributor to this ministry as you feel led by the Holy Spirit. Your contribution in the form of an international money order or personal check stateside would be greatly appreciated to carry on God's work and to keep us on the air. If you can't afford to support us financially, please be our covenant partner through your prayer support. Pray that our mission will be carried out according to God's will as we carry out His command that our voice go into all the earth and our words to the end of the world. We pray that this program is a blessing to you and that you'll tell others about us. Burns' classic and timeless Bible teachings given over many years past are highly anointed and are now available on cassette tapes along with his books and other ministry materials that teach the believer to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you. Write us or send us a postcard with a clear return address requesting our catalog or making your comments. Our address is Walking in Power, P.O. Box 161322, Miami, Florida, USA 33176. Or for telephone orders using your credit card, call toll-free 1-888-273-WORD. That's 1-888-273-9673. Until next week, we remind you that the Bible tells us that there is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved from our sins. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and as a living person, willing and able to get involved in your life, shouldn't you? Invite Him into your heart today to be Lord and Savior, and receive Him by a trusting faith alone. If you want to know more about the necessity of being saved, write us. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hope you'll tune in next week at this same time as we bring you more of the Holy Spirit's timely Bible teachings through Bern Zumpano. Until then, God bless you and keep you in His love. Walking in Power is a production of United Ministries International.